You may be seated. Perhaps you have heard the phrase that someone wears many hats, which means one person has many roles or tasks to perform. For instance, when you go to a sporting event, it is one thing to go there as a spectator, another thing as a coach, or another thing as a referee. Now, I know more than one person at the Christian Athletic Association who at one game acts as a referee. Later that week, they may be a coach, and later on, they're a fan of their child playing soccer. So they are definitely wearing different hats when at one game you're making a call as a referee, and then at another game, a coach, his focus is on their players and winning their team to win, and sometimes questioning the call that the ref makes. All of us wear various hats as we work in different spheres and responsibilities in our lives. In this morning's New Testament reading from Hebrews 1, we see Christ in three roles: as prophet, as priest, and as king. So first we see Christ as prophet in Hebrews 1, 1 and 2, which says this: God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways in these last days, has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. Both the Old Testament and the New Testament are the Word of God. But the Old Testament prophets pointed forward to the final and complete written revelation given to us in the coming of Jesus Christ. In these verses, all of sacred history is divided into these epochs: the former days and in these last days. The former days were those days before the coming of Christ, when God prompted and inspired the books of the Old Testament to be written. These last days refer to the coming of Christ into the world in the New Testament, which is God's final word about Christ and his saving mercy. Similar to the language used in John 1, God has spoken to us in his Son, through whom also the world came into being. When Hebrews 1 tells us that in these last days God has spoken to us in his Son, what is implicit in this statement is that God has spoken to us through the apostles that the Son appointed and in their writings. The apostles were appointed by Christ not only to proclaim Christ's message verbally, but also they were the human authors inspired by the Holy Spirit to write down the books of the New Testament. There is a trend both recently and in the distant past to try to drive a wedge between Jesus and what he taught and the writings of the apostles. Those who embrace this viewpoint are very skeptical about the writings of the New Testament. And so they will say that what Jesus taught is one thing during his earthly ministry, and what the apostles wrote down about Jesus was twisted and distorted. What these critics of Christianity say, basically, is that Jesus never claimed to be divine, but the apostles began teaching that Christ was divine and attributed words to Christ that he never said. This viewpoint thus casts a shadow of suspicion over the trustworthiness of the books of the New Testament. But there is not a division between what Christ said and taught and what the apostles wrote down. The apostles did not act independently of Christ. They were his appointed representatives and authorized messengers. From a historical perspective, we also have non-Christian historians such as Josephus and other historical witnesses of the first century who, while they didn't believe the Christian gospel, also did not try to drive a wedge between the teaching of Jesus and what his apostles taught. And if there was a difference between the two, they would have been the ones that would have exploited it. But they didn't. Which shows there wasn't a wedge. It's an artificial wedge that we not we, but they have dreamed up out of their own minds. We believe that God has spoken to us in His Son, and the New Testament, being inspired by God, accurately portrays Christ in His divinity and humanity. In the former days, God spoke to us through the prophets, but in these last days, He has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things. We know Jesus as the prophet. Second role that Jesus Christ did that is mentioned in this passage is that Jesus acted as our priest. Hebrews 1:4 says this, "When He had made purification of sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high." What the text says that Jesus made purification of our sins. The author is making reference to this, which is really a ceremonial practice of sacrifice. In the Old Testament, animal sacrifices were made on the Day of Atonement and on other days to make atonement for the sins of God's people. These sacrifices were temporary and provisional and pointed forward to the once and for all sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. While the writer of the Hebrews makes a short reference here to Christ's work as priest in Hebrews 1, he does elaborate more about it later in this book. Hebrews 10, verses 11, 12, and 14 says this, "Every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God. For by one offering he has perfected for all time for those who are being sanctified." Since Christ fully did the will of his heavenly Father, including a full and once and for all atonement for the sins of the world, he was able then to sit down at the right hand of God. And so because Jesus completed his work of redemption on the cross of Calvary, it was for that reason, 40 days later, he ascended into heaven and sat down at God's right hand because he completed his work of redemption for us. He was also able to completely and totally satisfy God's righteous judgment against sin and act as our high priest. Christian theology has used this term, the substitutionary atonement of Christ. Christ acted as our substitute on the cross. He suffered for our sins, the just for the unjust. Jesus, as the righteous Lamb of God, died in our place in order to accomplish our salvation and rescue us for the dominion of sin and death. Now, as I was preparing this, I thought prophet, priest, and king. There's a reason why I think they're listed in that order, and I probably should have known this before, but I thought about it. Historically, chronologically, Jesus first had to be prophet, then priest, and then king. So it's a chronological order. We don't say king, prophet, and priest. We don't say priest, prophet, and then king. Prophet, priest, and king. He was first our prophet, then he offered himself, and then he comes as king. Christ is revealed as king, and Christ's kingship is clarified in that he is no ordinary human king, but he is the divine king, the divine Son of God who was anointed by his Father. This king is revealed as fully divine in multiple ways in this passage. The Lord Jesus Christ is described in Hebrews 1:3 in this way, "And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power, through whom also he made the world." Notice how this verse speaks of the full divinity of Christ. He has the exact nature of God's image because he is fully God. The writer of the Hebrews uses specific language here in saying that Christ has the exact nature of God, because he is driving home the point that Christ doesn't merely resemble God's nature. He doesn't have a strikingly similar nature to God the Father, but he has the exact nature of God, showing that he is fully God. Our text also says in Hebrews 1:6, "Let all the angels of God worship him." Since God is always truthful and right, when God the Father tells the angels to worship the Son of God, it is because Jesus Christ is worthy of the worship from the angels. We are reminded in the season of Advent and Christmas of the appearance of the angels on the night of Christ's birth, in which they said about the baby born in Bethlehem that he is Christ the Lord. This Christ is one whom the angels confess as Lord and worship as God. Further, in Hebrews 1:8-9, we are told that God the Father says this about his Son. "But of the Son he says, 'Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The righteous scepter is the scepter of his kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of joy, of gladness above your companion.'" God the Father calls Jesus Christ God. Since God, again, is totally trustworthy and accurate, here is God the Father bearing witness and saying about his Son, "O God." In a human court of law, jurors have the responsibility to sift through and weigh the credibility of each person who testifies in a case to determine what level of certainty that the witness and the purported evidence has in determining their verdict for a person, whether they are guilty or not guilty. God calls himself as a witness, and by his very nature, in which God cannot lie, but always tells the truth, he says about his Son, "O God, your throne lasts forever." We need to respond appropriate to the sure witness of God concerning his Son by worshiping him as God and as King. Further, in Hebrews 1:10 through 12, the writer of the Hebrews contrasts the temporary nature of the created realm versus the eternal nature of God. After saying that the heavens are the work of God's hands, in Hebrews 1:10, the writer of this letter says about the creation that it will perish, but God remains forever. He also says that creation will become old like a garment and be rolled up and changed, while God remains the same and his years will not come to an end. The very nature of creation and creator is contrasted. Creation, by its very nature, is something that's made. It therefore has a beginning and an ending, while God, by his nature, always was, is now, and never ends. In fact, he never changes. Just as this attribute can rightly be said about God the Father, it is also true of God the Son. For Hebrews 13, verse 8 says, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever." Christ is the eternal King, the anointed Messiah of God the Father, who not only saves us, but reigns forever over God's kingdom. He can be fully trusted, for he is eternally good, eternally sovereign, eternally trustworthy, and eternally the same. Let us therefore be strengthened in our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and in our service to him, who is prophet, who is priest, and who is king. Let us pray. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, we worship, magnify, and adore you. Strengthen us by the power of your Holy Spirit to hear your word and the gospel of your Son, to believe in you, to hope in you, and to love you. This we ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.